Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom and welcome. This is the Lion's Roar Report. I am the Lioness reporting, and this is another edition of Card Talk. My apologies for the delay in starting. Figures at the last minute I get a call right before I go on air. But anywho, so we are getting over this polar vortex that has come down from Canada and hit the Midwest. And it hit us pretty hard. We've had minus degree temps with bigger minus degree wind chills. So it's been a hurtful mess for the past 3 days. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I think overnight Wednesday into Thursday was the worst of the night. Yesterday morning got up and the air temperature was negative 24, which equated to about 45 to 50 below wind chill. So it has been very, very cold, dangerously cold. Water mains have been breaking and, you know, people's heat have been going out and the homeless. It's just been very surreal to endure this. And, you know, in the Midwest, Chicagoland area, we know cold. But this type of cold we haven't seen in a very long time. And for some of you who are, you know, younger, this may have been your first experience going through this. And so it was pretty eye-opening. Pretty, like I said, very dangerous. But I give praise to the Most High for keeping us safe, for keeping our homes safe, keeping our cars safe. And I know my home personally, we have a garage, but it's a one-car garage, and we're a two-car family. And since my car is the newer car, I park in the carport. So my husband and I, we put up a tarp on the exposed side of the carport just to give my car some extra buffer, and I'm glad we did, because with the weather as cold as it was a hard start, but it started. So I can just imagine if we didn't put that buffer up there, we probably would have had to charge the battery to get it started. So I'll praise to the Most High for giving my husband insight to do that, keeping us safe and warm and all of that. So what I wanted to do, I know I haven't been on for a while, and I'm pretty exhausted. We're state workers, so our departments did not shut down. You know, schools shut down, some businesses shut down, the mail shut down for 2 days, the DMV shut down, obviously, and appropriately, you know, the people trying to do their test drives and all that. State didn't want the workers out there in the cold trying to get those things done. So, but our departments did not shut down. And so, you know, we had the option to stay home if we wanted to, and I didn't want to waste my, you know, benefit time for that. If I had to, of course I would have, but the car started, everything was warm, the house is secure, so there was no need to use that time for this. But braving this, these elements, getting out here in these elements to warm up your car, to bundle up and put on extra layers and to make the walk from the parking lot to the building to get in and do your job and then to go out, you know, a couple times throughout the day to start the car to make sure that the engine is warm and so forth and doing what you need to do to take care so that you can be safe going to and from. Well, that takes a toll on you after a few days. And we've, like I said, we've had 3 days of this. Today is the first day that we are above zero The car's registering at 7 degrees currently. So minor wind chill, probably like -5 or -6 or something like that. So we're still cold. We're just not, it's not that brutal cold anymore. But we still have to deal with these elements. So going through a couple of days of that, you know, our bodies are worn out. We're trying to get through this last day of the week so we can come home and crash. And I always look forward to Shabbat, but I am definitely looking forward to Shabbat this week because my body definitely needs to be refreshed. And we just need a moment to breathe. And so what I wanted to do, I wanted to come on, like I said, I hadn't been on for the weather reasons, but I wanted to come on and I had, you know, mentioned or spoken about the MAGA boy and the native elder in that situation. And so more information has come out and I haven't had time to give voice to that, you know, the new and current information about all of that. So it turns out that the black folks that were there were a group, a religious group, I don't want to call them religious, but a group known as Hebrew Israelites. And Hebrew Israelites are black, or here in America, black Americans who believe that they are the sons or descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they were out there and they were, you know, had on their garb and they were, you know, had their posters and their signs and they were yelling and screaming and talking down to the boys and doing what they do. Now, I want to say a couple things about that. I believe that the sons and daughters of slaves who are here in America and scattered abroad, I do believe that we are the children of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe that. If you read Deuteronomy 28, if you read throughout the scriptures, really, without a Christian mindset, and you just read it for what is there, you will come to the conclusion, hopefully you'll come to the conclusion that the things that have gone on to our group of people does not match the people who we have grown up being told and believing are the children of Yisrael or Israel. Now, I'm not bashing that group of people. I'm just saying evidence fits more to us than it does to them. But back to the subject at hand, these Hebrew Israelites that were there, they are a group that down and they cuss out, and not just white people, but they cuss out their own people, thinking that that's going to wake them up, thinking that that's going to make a difference. And I needed to give voice because while I identify and see myself as a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I do not condone that type of behavior. I do not. I don't even subscribe to that way of thinking that we're going to be master over anybody. The Father said He is going to, you know, take care of those who have put their hands on us. And He has also said that, you know, we've been captive, but our captors are going to become subject to us. That is in the Word. But the way that they describe it is as if we're going to have whips and if we're going to have, as if we're going to have chains and as if we're going to do the same to them that they did to us. That is nowhere in the scripture. And especially if you're talking about the kingdom. Because in the kingdom, what does it say? There's not going to be sin. There's not going to be that kind of behavior. So if that's not going to be in the kingdom, then there's no, then there is no need to have this mindset that you're going to whip anybody, that you're going to cast down anybody, that you're going to do that and have that kind of behavior happening in the kingdom. Because in order to get to the kingdom, you have to first believe that Yahushua, who you many believe or have been taught to call Jesus, he's not having that kind of behavior in the kingdom. And if he's going to be the king of all kings, you know that's not going to happen. So the people who are going to be in the kingdom will be those who believe in him as Messiah and follow the word as he follows the word, meaning he's going to obey. You're going to obey the law, statutes, and commands as he obeys them. You're going to obey the dietary standards as he obeyed it. You're going to obey and honor the Shabbat as he obeyed and honored the Shabbat. So get it in your head. If you are wanting to be in the kingdom, if you think you're going to be in the kingdom, then you have to be a follower of the Messiah. And to be a follower of the Messiah is to do what he did. He honored the law. He honored the prophets. He honored the prophecy and gave some clarification of what those things would look like. So if he did those things, then as a follower of him, we ought to do those things. So the black Hebrew Israelites that were there in the capital cussing out these boys, and again, I still don't give the McAvoy a pass for the way that he stood up to the native, because that was very disrespectful. And I don't care who you are, who you think you are, what rights you think you have, you just don't treat your elders that way. And so I'm not giving him a pass on that. But I want to deal with, just as I wanted to deal with his behavior and his attitude, I also need to deal with the fact that these grown-ass men were standing out there and saying the things that they were saying. And let's go back to what the Messiah was saying in Matthew 5. I'm sorry if it seems like I'm rambling and I'm going all over the place, but like I said, it's been a couple days, and this has been stored up, so I got to get it out. But go back to Matthew 5. Where the Messiah says, you are the light of the world, you're the salt of the earth, or the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Who was he talking to? He wasn't talking to Christians. He was talking to his fellow Yehudim, or Jews, or sons and daughters of Jacob. That's who he was talking to. And if these men think that they are, and they are, but if they think that represents behavior, represents the Messiah, they are sadly mistaken. And the pit that they want to put the heathen in is actually a pit that they themselves are going to fall into. So if you believe that you are a daughter or son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a descendant of the slave, then you have to have this mindset. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And who in their right mind would want to come into the kingdom hearing that kind of talk? Now, I'm not saying we don't tell the truth, but what I am saying is that what they were spewing, one, was not the truth. And even if it was the truth, their attitude and the way that they delivered it, it just sucked. To keep it real, I may say some things that you may not necessarily agree with, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to respectfully tell you the truth. And there are some things some truths that are going to be hard to swallow. I understand that. The Messiah himself said some truths that were hard for his own people to swallow, which is why a big portion of our people rejected him and handed him over to be crucified. So if that happened back then, of course it's going to happen today. But when it says don't let your good be evil spoken of, you can't go out there and call white people this and call white people that and then expect that they're going to want to hear what you have to say, even though what you may be saying is truthful. We got to get some balance in this. anyone who is not of the house of Israel, or Yisrael as I say it, are known as foreigners or heathens or Gentiles. And that's more than just white people. Now, I understand for those of us living in America that we have had and still have our issues that we deal with them on a daily basis. But they're not the only issue that we have on a daily basis. That's just our reality here in America. But if you're in the Bahamas, if you're in Australia, even in Africa, no matter where we are, because we are scattered according to the prophecy, according to the disobedience of our forefathers, we have been scattered. And so we are all over the continent. We are all over the earth, everywhere. So no matter where we are, we're catching it from whoever is in control in that area. So we can't get hung up on just white people. But have white people done a disservice, done us injustice, and all those other things? Yes. As a whole, yes. But we can't put our finger on every white person or point our finger to every white person and say, you're going to hell. Because if you are a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you're not following the law, statutes, and commandments, and you don't believe in Yahushua as the Messiah, you're going to hell too. You got to get it together too. And judgment is going to start with the house of Yisrael. So if we don't get it together, who are we to point our finger at anybody else? So Israel, together, understand who you are. That doesn't mean you look down on everybody else. That means you thank the Most High for grace, for his grace, his favor towards you to wake you up at such a time as this. And then you be that light and that salt at work. You be that light and that salt at school. You be that light and that salt in your home, because your family members, your immediate and extended family members, not everybody's going to jump on the bandwagon. Not everybody's going to read the scripture the way you're seeing it, with open eyes, with the scales removed. They're not all going to get it. So you still got to be that salt and light to them. You got to be that salt and light to your community. You got to be that salt and light wherever you are. That doesn't mean we don't tell the truth. That just means we walk this truth out that we want to shout from the rooftop. Those brothers who identify as Hebrew Israelites told Ayah that they know who they are. But my prayer for them is that they wake up and they come out of this foolishness, this foolish behavior, this foolish doctrine, this foolish way of presenting the good news. Because the way they present it, it's not good news at all. And if I wasn't already awakened, I know I wouldn't be awake through them. Because I'd be out there fighting them and telling them to shut the hell up. So let's wake up, Israel. Let's wake up. And this is February 1st, the beginning of Black History Month. I say forget trying to talk about Black history. Get back into your Hebrew history roots. Get back into that. And let's have that conversation. And let's have that awakening. And then let's spread that good news to our families, to our friends, and then around the world. And with that, may you have a wonderful, excellent end of your week. May you enjoy a peaceful and restful Shabbat that is to come. And I'll see you next time, sometime next week. Shalom, and have an awesome day.